This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2019, held on March 22 and 23, 2019, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Good morning. Oh, yes. Well, I might as well start out with a story that I don't have in my notes. Marriage seemed important to me from way, way back as a kid. I'm not sure why. So I started praying for a wife when I was 12 years old. So I went to EMC and figured there, in Bible college, I'll find a good Mennonite wife. But the girls that I liked didn't like me. And the girls I liked didn't like me, and the girls like me I didn't like. So I got a call in the summer of 1958 to go north from River Shasta to teach among the Indian people. Okay, I said, God, I'm finished praying for a wife. If you want me to have a wife, you have to drop her out of the sky. I'm going to go up and bury myself for the work of the native people. So I go in, start teaching. And my supervisor from Canada was supposed to come to give the school clout in Canada because I was not a Canadian. So I started teaching. I had fun. Didn't know any English. They didn't know any English. I started with Father, Mother, Dick, James, Puff, and Spot, and see them run and jump. And I would run and jump, and then they'd laugh. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Well, finally, got a radio message on the crackly radio that today my supervisor's coming in to give clout to the school. So I heard the airplane coming. I ran down to the dock. The airplane taxied down and floats, and I caught it and tied it fast, and then the pilot pulled the door, opened the door and pulled his seat front, and then here's the supervisor. And she tries to get out. You got to step from the airplane down to the step and down to the float and down to the dock. And her high heels got caught, and she fell right into my arms. At that time, I didn't realize that would be my future wife. That literally happened, right? Then her high heels got stuck in the cracks in the dock. We had this wet, on-dried lumber, cured lumber, and so. And then her skirt was so tight she couldn't climb up the rock bank to the little log mission house. Well, anyway, I never saw those high heels again. I never saw that tight skirt again. Anyway, yes, we've been married for 60 years, been in mission work for 60 years, and been flying airplanes around for 60 years. Jesus said in John 4:34, my meat is to do the will of him who sent me. Isaiah said in chapter 6, verse 8, here am I, send me. I looked where others had been to see where I should go and then leave a trail for others to follow. God said to Moses, thou therefore go, in Exodus 4:12. So God sent Moses, and God sent us. And we don't want to follow a path where others have been, but we want to follow a path where no one has been and leave a trail for others to follow. So at 82, I want to do something for Jesus that no one else will do. Training Indian Eskimo people, Inuit and First Nations people, how to help their people. Training them how to help their people. So, the Bible said, where there's no vision, a people perish, right? So I add to that, where there is a vision, people flourish. I'm a visionary guy. Visioneering is very important. Create a vision, then put your energy in that vision to create a meaningful life for God. Because out there, the world, it's a sea of human need. It's a sea of human need, a lot of brokenness and hurt and pain and tragedy and loss all around us. So how can we bring healing to a broken world? Well, families is first. First is God, right? And then it's God and us. And then marriage, children, and missions. I've seen some people bury their life in mission and neglect their children and lose them. Our families are the greatest mission field. So family has always been important to me. So let's go on here. A few things before we get into the notes. This is our family. And there was two born after that. We had 28 grandchildren. We have. Well, no. Because Ian was killed in a car accident, our 25-year-old grandson, about 3 weeks ago. Very tragic. So uncalled for. Because the other guy was very disobedient to the law and everything. Anyway, he died. Tragic. So we're adjusting. Now we have 27 grandchildren. And our family started in heaven, where we'll all go someday. 100 years from now, none of us will be alive. New generations, new families will fill our places. So what kind of a legacy do we want to leave behind? Visioneering and legacy are both important to me. So we travel from Alaska all the way to Greenland, all over the Arctic. So we're down here in Pennsylvania somewhere, then we fly to Winnipeg tomorrow, and then we fly way up north of the Arctic Circle to teach, train some more people to help their people. North of the Arctic Circle, and it's cold. It's only minus 24. The wind's only 20 knots. Anyway, we enjoy it. For years, this is how we got around. When I turned 80, I sold that airplane. I still fly little airplanes, but not that big one. If Satan can capture one generation, he owns all the rest. Unless somebody makes decisive changes with God's help. Only through Jesus can we build families. Without Jesus, we can't build anything. Jesus died for us, redeemed us, sent the Holy Spirit. Christ is central. So, you know, the joy of husband-wife relationships. The fundamental truth is that in the Old Testament, God speaks to the man first. He spoke to Adam, he spoke to Abraham, he spoke to Jacob, he spoke to Moses, Joshua, David, and others. Womanhood is precious and has dignity and worth and value. Eve, the mother of mankind, humankind, was valuable and it was God's design. Mary, the mother of Jesus. God used women in so many different ways. There's Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Rahab, Miriam, Naomi, Ruth, Esther, Phoebe. The list goes on. Of women who were very important in the kingdom of Jesus Christ and God's kingdom. The New Testament, the church is the bride. Christ is the bridegroom. So, in the spiritual realm, we're all female because we're the bride to the bridegroom, Christ. So, we submit to Christ. Christ is the head. In the home, are you married? You're the head. Now, some say that the wife is the neck that turns the head, but I don't like that one. So, this spirit-inspired imagery is not to be shuffled about and rearranged according to our culture. Getting worse too, in changing social whims and to political correct preferences. The fundamental truth, God calls a woman to groan in giving life, physical life, in bearing relational life. this is something that there is something that is angrily speaking and moving in a woman that longs to rest. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later. So, page 2. God, to Adam, God said, the ground is going to produce thistles and thorns for you. You will eat the plants of the field through hard work and toil. All so things don't go right. Your car motor breaks, the tire goes flat, the house burns down. We had that happen once. You know, that's part of the curse. And don't fight it. Accept it. When these things happen as a part of the curse, we need Jesus to be kind and loving and forgiving and caring. The fundamental truth. God calls a man to groan in producing and providing food through painful toil. We're both called to groan in a fallen world. Thorns and thistles will always be there to block your ability to succeed. Yours do. You don't have any thorns and thistles, I'm sure. There'll always be thorns and thistles, so we might as well accept the fact that difficulty is going to happen. Houses are going to burn down. People are going to, like my grandson, they're going to die tragically. But it's not the end of the world, but it's part of the curse. And that's why Jesus died. The common problem, men have problems initiating and leading. Women have problems with being the responder and the helper. So, a man is more of a passive avoider, does nothing, or does little, or the aggressive avoider and is angrily doing, you know, trying to control everything. It's hard to find that balance. To be a caring, loving, passionate leader. And dealing with the thorns and thistles that arise in his own life, in his marriage, and with his children. A woman is more of a... No, a woman is more of a helpless controller. Oh, wants everybody to take care of her. Pity poor me. Or the emasculating controller, you do it my way or else, you know. They go to those extremes. It's hard for them to find that balance. So, Mrs. Schnupp.
Yes.
Known as Clara. You want to talk about these women that aren't so good?
Usually on our overhead or the whatever you call this, the men come first, and then Claire tells his stories. Now, this one happened this way, so I'm going to start. So we'll see which direction it goes. So for us as women, all of us, our big need is for security. Big for men, women, this is for you to hear. Their big need is significance. And we need to understand both those things. But you know, for our need, we want security, safety is so important to us. And the only way that I can make sure that my life's going to be safe is if I make sure it's safe. And so that's why we struggle with being controllers, even as singles, and then as married, to be controllers. And we can control in such variety of ways. Some of it doesn't look as bad. But... So let's see, where do I push the button? Here? There it is. Some of us can be women who act like little girl women. And we're weak. And, you know, we just feel like everybody has to help us and there's nothing. And we don't have much to, you know, we don't have much strength at all. And then sometimes women can be the nice girl. And we'll put that into sort of quotation marks. nice isn't nice. When a woman is just so put together that nobody can challenge her, nobody, she's just nice, and she's so easy to be around, and she's doesn't know her own thoughts, she doesn't know her own feelings, she doesn't know how to interact as an adult in the marriage. That was me.
Well, I was going to say that too. That was the woman I married.
Yes, very much so.
But not anymore.
Well, I still struggle. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, that's part of the curse.
I know. But, you know, it was very hard for, and I told this bit of my story yesterday to the women in my class, but as a little girl, I was quiet. As a teenager, I was quiet, and I got into marriage, and the big thing was I didn't believe that what I had to say was important, and so I wasn't able to give my heart as a mother should, as a wife should, and as a mother should. And it was really in a bad, we were both, I mean, I was in a bad situation.
Well, 10 years after marriage, she was depressed and I was depressed. We're both in depression medication. We were in bad shape.
Big time. And let's see. Anyway, then a busy girl. Well, by the time I'd learned some of these things, I was visiting in a home and I thought, I really want to get to know this lady. And I just want to hear her stories. I never used to be able to talk of my stories, but I can now, and I could then.
For sure.
So I was I was with her, and she said, let's have coffee and some muffins. And she brought me my coffee, and I was sitting there. I was waiting to sit down and enjoy talking. And, you know, by the time that my time was up there, she had not sat down. She had taken the dishes that she gave me, washed them in the sink. She never sat long enough to interact. She was a very busy girl. And then the tough girl, the word down here is the emasculating controller. We as women, if we're not careful, we can take the masculinity out of men in our life, our brothers, our sons, but our husbands, big time. Tough girl, where everything she needs everything done her way. All because, I don't know if you can see the pain there. We all have pain because of this fall. And if we haven't learned how to talk about our own issues and get through the help of people and the Lord, we're going to have struggling with these, us as women, to be helpless controllers or emasculating controllers. And the helpless controller is just as sinful as the emasculating controller. This one looks worse than what bottom one, but this one, I thought I was really nice, and I thought I was, I just thought Claire had to be more like me. And I was trying so hard for 10 years.
I didn't like it.
To change him. And you know, it doesn't work, women. You can't change your husband. Even if he's a bummer.
That's yours.
Oh. Okay, go ahead.
You're turning red. We get along. Well, that's a bad picture of you women, most women. But anyway, unredeemed women, sister, you look redeemed. Now, we're no better. At least I wasn't. There's the passive order at this end, and the aggressive order over here, aggressive avoider over there. So this is a little boy, man. He's weak, and he doesn't feel he has anything to offer the world. And then there's the good boy, man. He's nice, and he can buy flowers for his wife. He can buy gifts for his children and toys, but he can't give his heart. Well, then there's the distant boy, man. He can't get close. He keeps his distance, relationally distant. Then there's the And notice it moves on towards passive avoider to aggressive avoider. Here's the macho boy. I almost said jerk, but I don't like that word. But I use it anyway. Macho boy. Boy, everything has to be his way. My way or the highway. You don't do that, right? You'll never sit in that chair again, remember? No, I lost my thought. No, I didn't. All right, now, what happens if we marry these bad girls and bad boys?
Well, I told people where I am at. Where are you?
I can't get away with anything. I was this macho jerk. A lot of anger. But I didn't understand it. When I look back now, it makes me cry sometimes. I mean, didn't go wrong. I just blew my top, but it was just me, and that's who I am, you know? Yeah, I'm sorry, but that was and now I'm over here. No, I'm not.
And, you know, we used to blame any problems our girls had, emotional problems, blame. Claire would say it's because of his anger. And I said, that was okay with me. But, you
know, it was okay with me, but I didn't know any better.
You didn't know better, and I didn't know better. But, you know, my quietness and my not giving my heart did as much emotional hurts to our five daughters as any anger that he had. Sometimes I think now it's more 40% was his and 60 mine. You know, I was so nice, they couldn't come to me with difficulties because I wanted them to be perfect like I was. I thought I was perfect. I was okay. And yet I wasn't. So, anyway.
Unplanned story. But one time then, in our healing process, we got a family counselor to sit down with us and our five daughters. And we wanted them to hear how it was growing up with who we were. Well, first afternoon it was me. It lasted 2 hours. So everybody got everything said. But next day was hers, and hers lasted over 3 hours. The girls had more pain from her style of relating than from mine. But it was all underground.
But the day came. Well, the healing is coming. I don't want to stay here very long. It's a tough place. It was tough for our girls.
Anyway, down here is the chaotic home.
Yeah.
A lot of anger. Nobody gives in. It's World War III. And then we go over here, the nice little boy and the nice little girl.
No, the tough girl.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you.
The tough girl.
Then what do we have?
Yeah. Who's the boss in that home?
The woman.
The woman.
So we call that the oppressive home. Lots of shame. Now, where does it go next?
Claire and Clara.
Oh, the macho guy.
And the nice little girl.
And so what was happening in that home?
A lot of fear.
Fear of who?
There it was, fear of Dad.
Yeah.
I think.
And you and the girls were just compliant.
Yeah.
But not alive.
Big time.
What happens if you marry the little boy man and the little girl man, girl woman? It's a dull home. Everybody feels guilty and bad and anyway, whatever. All right, so my people have hewn out cisterns and broken cisterns that can hold no water. Now, we got to get on to the redemption part here. Needs to come a point where there's a chosen willingness to repent of these negative styles of relating that come out of our own depravity and our own woundedness in childhood. Most of us dads didn't know how to really draw the man out of us, so we went to performance. Most dads didn't know how to draw the female soul out of the girl, so they feel insignificant. for we must repent. A man and a woman need to heal from their past hurts and repent now of their wrong styles of relating, their negative SORs, negative styles of relating, and learn new godly styles of relating. And that doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. As you understand, what is probably not the way it ought to be. And then to begin to get some, you know, I like the idea of James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another, pray one for another that you might be healed. I say every man, every woman needs three. She needs three to meet with. I need three to meet with. And that was the biggest thing that helped us in overcoming and growing. I had my three men, met every 2 weeks, and we cared about each other, but it was a chance for me to begin to heal. She had her three women, and she called them often. And some of those died, and we had to find others to replace them. But we can't do it alone, brother. We need men to dialogue, to share our guts with, and pray with, and share our weaknesses, as well as our strengths. And women need some women to talk with, or at least once every 2 weeks. This circle of three. Jesus had a circle of three, did he not? Who were they? Peter, James, and John. Then he had the 12. Then he had the 70. Then he had the 130. Then he had the multitudes. But he needed his circle of three that he shared most intimately with. If Jesus needed it, then you do too, brother. The sooner we find our circle of three, the better it's going to be for all of us in our marriages, as parents. Our circle of three. Well, we've come to our senses. Getting up and going to the Father, that's all part of what the prodigal son did. Getting up and coming to the Father. A willingness to be embraced and receive forgiveness and be kissed by the Father. A willingness to celebrate forgiveness. I lost my place in my notes. The path of the redeemed. Anyway, I know where we are. The path of redemption. A redeemed man will be... What happened to my writing? Well, I'll use my finger. A redeemed man and a redeemed woman will be on a new path to more godly styles of relating. Okay? Now, this time, the men are first. What's going on here? Well, I'll use my finger. So, in my healing journey, dealing with my past, sex abuse when I was 9 years old, and different things like that, that made me feel dirty, contaminated, and second class. That's what I was operating it out of. But I didn't know what was driving me to hyperactivity, burning out. So then as I began to heal and want to become the man that God had planned for me to be, you know, sometimes I was predictable and I'd come home and the girls were used to this new guy, but sometimes I wasn't quite the way I should have been. I am all the time. No, I'm just kidding. And then we begin to minister to other men. We'll start with ministering to our wives more effectively and hearing their hearts and having dates. Because 1 Peter 3:7, men says, know a wife. Understand your wife. If you do, the reward is your prayers are answered better. The more I began to understand my wife, the better my prayer life became. That's quite a gift. You want a better prayer life? Understand her better.
they're so mysterious. You'll never know all about her.
I know.
You won't take that chair again. No, but then we begin to minister out of a more of a pure motive. And we serve. Now, you know, to serve. You know, and one of the healing things, I washed her feet. Now, I don't know what you think of that. You know what I mean? It was a sign, I want to serve you. Servant leader. Now, what about you women?
I just want to say one thing about what really meant a lot to me from Claire. It was also that where God spoke into the chaos and then there was light. And Claire started speaking into the chaos whenever there were, things were really crazy around the place. In the past, he sort of would have been a little more quiet. But he spoke, when he'd speak into it, all of a sudden, things did change. And where he really took the leadership in that way was quite a beautiful thing. Is this working now, or do I have to use my fingers?
Oh, it is
working. It's work.
You're magic.
I guess so. So for us as women, we're not called to be controllers. It never works. Never works to be a controller. But to respond, to be a woman that just in marriage just accepts her husband. And you know, our main job description is to speak to his need of significance. And Ephesians 5:33 tells us as women what we should do. And if you go to the Amplified, it's huge job description. Because of their need for significance, they need to be built up, encouraged, praised, admired. And the Bible even says, admired exceedingly. Wow. And you know, if we do that to the men in our lives, including our sons, if you have sons.
And your fathers.
And fathers, yeah. So, but for us as women, as the Lord has helped us with the pain of our hearts, at first it's a little bit scary. And I remember that time when I really felt God was telling me where I had to repent.
You know, in 1 Peter, we get one verse.
I know.
3:7. Are you going to tell them you guys get 6 verses? The women get 6 verses, 1-6.
And
I don't know what that says.
The whole book of 1 Peter, the whole book, there's 5 chapters. The first 2 are about Jesus suffering. The last 2 are about us as believers suffering. And right in the middle, it says, and ye wives. And so the story is, we will be suffering as we live godly in our marriages. And then there's 6 verses tell us, women, how to do it.
That's so contrary to the romance novels that she used to read.
I know. I was expecting him to do... I didn't think I'd have any problems after marriage. I thought he's going to take care of everything. And he couldn't read my mind, and I thought he could. Wow, those first 10 years were crazy. But yeah. God is good. He's good. And he just loves to take broken pieces of our lives and just make something beautiful. What God is calling us to be is giving women, trusting women. And we as women, our job, we're made to be soft, not weak. Read Proverbs 31. Soft, trusting, there's the word trusting, vulnerable, and that's terribly hard for us to be. And the one that's awesome is spontaneous. That's what we're made for. And it's awesome. There's a beauty in being spontaneous for you as us as women. Go ahead. Is that okay?
I think so.
Are we marrying them?
Oh, okay, I'll marry them. Since I'm the minister, just kidding. So we're moving.
Never said that before.
Oh, you're so funny. It just comes out.
So then this kind of a home, it can be...
When they're on the healing journey.
Yeah. Starting. It's spontaneous.
Spontaneity.
Safe.
Safety.
And passionate.
Say it. Spontaneous.
Spontaneous.
Safe.
Safe.
Passionate. Once more.
Passionate.
Oh, good.
And that's what children need to really grow and be blossom into manhood and womanhood. That's awesome. And that's what anywhere we minister to, that's what, where God needs you as couples to be the light. And that you can be a light right in your community.
And right in your, and a light in your extended family. Thank you, dear. Men. A redeemed man will be able to say, I'm free to choose to initiate, entering with gentle strength and integrity into life and relationships. I am free to choose to initiate entering with gentle strength to my God-assigned creational responsibilities in order to defend and protect life at personal cost and at self-sacrifice. Clara referred to this one. No, I did. For us guys. 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise. Now remember, all this is spoken about marriage in the middle of a book on suffering. Likewise, you husbands, dwell, live with them according to knowledge. Understand them. So many men say, I can't understand that woman. All right, then that's your problem. You're asked to understand her. So therefore you can. Maybe you need to get your circle of three to help you. Dwell with them, live with them according to knowledge, the understanding them, understand their fears. Women have all kinds of fears. And if you don't, your prayers are going to be hindered. So somebody comes to me, this man comes and says, I need help with my prayer life.
First of all, I say, are you married?
Yep.
You understand your wife? You can't understand a woman. There's your problem. You can pray, but understand her.
Your prayers won't be hindered. They'll be more effective. Oh, I'll finish this one here. Women, come here, Clara. You read it.
You said you would do it.
I said I would, but...
I can try.
Do I have the right to change my mind?
Yes.
Good.
Let's hurry.
Okay, well, we're hurrying. We'll be there. We're just about done.
A redeemed woman will be able to say, I am free to choose actively respond in order to cultivate and express my inner beauty. Just like Sarah in the Bible. The gentle, gracious kind that God delights in. This life of holy beauty will captivate others. Free to choose to rest. We as women are made to rest. Men are not. Go to the book of Ruth and see how many times the word rest is used for women. And that about Boaz, it said he could not rest until he had some things to do. So I'm free to choose to rest more fully and respond more spontaneously by going off duty about the realities of life that I have no control over or that are not my God-designed creational responsibility as a woman. I can do this because I know God prizes me as his daughter.
Okay, I am a monotone, but once in a while I try to sing. She has a cold. She was a music teacher. Singing is her thing. We're going to try. We'll see how it goes. If I go off tune, you won't walk out, right? I might go up or down.
We tried singing when we were driving, and my voice is really crazy, but we'll try it.
But you're not crazy.
No. You aren't either.
Living below in this old sinful world,
hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation sore, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord?
That's enough. We have two of our grandsons here. If I had known that, I just saw them now, I would have had them sing up here with us. But that would have been better, because they're really good singers.
Hey, come on, you guys. You got 5 minutes yet.
You do?
Come on, you guys. Come on.
What are they going to do?
They sing better than I do. Well, come on. I got three grandsons.
Yes. Oh, I didn't know the one came from Toronto.
You can figure out a song you guys four can sing.
Oh, my goodness.
Sure, come on. You're used to strange things.
Yes, you come. You stay here.
Well, okay. I look up to my grandsons.
Do you know that one? Living Below? Sure.
Which one?
Living Below.
Okay.
Sing whatever.
I better be over here.
Do you have lead, or do you want me to do lead?
You do the lead.
Okay.
Living below in this so sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation sore, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord?
Thank you, guys. Never done that before. But okay.
Well, I think that's what we have. What are you thinking, brother?
Good stuff.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
You're a pastor. You mean you learned something? Well, I still got 5 minutes. What are you thinking?
Are there any questions, Claire?
Pardon?
Are there any questions?
All right. You're excused. Anybody have any questions? I'll listen to my wife again. Good idea. Any questions?
You minister a lot to First Nations people. Are there marriages and struggles similar to the challenges that the Conservative Anabaptists face? What differences, likenesses?
In terms of understanding, trying to understand each other and getting along and finding their role, they're human beings. But then, you know, they eat fish, they eat polar bear, they eat reindeer. There's different cultural things. They have to adjust to it. I don't know how to eat polar bear or reindeer and do a beef or pork or whatever you do. But the racial dynamics are the same. Women tend to control the boss. Men tend to get busy doing their things and back away from family responsibilities. Women feel left alone and overburdened. And men are very lonely out there doing all their things. Because it's not, we're made for relationships. Yeah, so I hope I spoke to your question. It's we thought this. Like, Greenland and Norway and Sweden and Russia and Africa and South America, India. Dynamics are distinct. Any other questions or comments?
1 minute.
One of the issues.
What?
One of the questions we're talking about is the way that wives want their husbands to make family first. Okay, so God and family, and she can resent the callings, responsibilities, whether it's church, work, hobbies, passions. dreams that the demands that those other things put on family life instead of making her everything.
You said a good place to close.
Well, how do you know, actually? I heard you saying God and then wife and family. Maybe those other things somehow are competing.
Yeah, but God's got to be first. If I'm not right with Jesus, I can't lead. God's got to be first.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. For more information, call 1-814-789-4769 or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.